hearts were in this place of worship, just stay there. But I absolutely have no doubt that the Lord is bringing us to a place of reconciliation with Him. Sometimes we think reconciliation's first got to begin with us and others, but I feel like the Lord is just saying very clearly reconciliation with Him. And it's the Lord that reconciled the world to Himself. So even the act of reconciliation is not really something that we do. It's something that we receive because He reconciled us to Himself. And it is that place of reconciliation that when the Lord's reconciling us to Him, that's where repentance begins to take place. That's the action. That repentance follows reconciliation to the Father. It draws us in, that the Father lavishes love. The Holy Spirit comes and He begins to say, come, you're my child, you're just lost. You've wandered off, you're hiding in darkness. And He says, look, I've paid for your reconciliation to come in. And it's in that moment that you hear the cry of the Father's voice that you say, I repent, I think differently. I turn from where I've been going and I begin to turn into the arms of the Father. I think today the Lord is going to do some things and He's wanting to do a new thing. And a brother just gave confirmation to it. It's like He's beginning a new work. And one of the brothers, he says, I smell sawdust. And what was Jesus? Jesus was a carpenter. Right? So what I declare over you is that the Lord is excited to begin a new project in you. And just even as the kids came over here and spontaneously grabbed the Lion of Judah flag, and as they began to worship, it's like He's drawing them. He wants to lead you by the faith of children that say, just come to me, strip away fear, strip away those things, and be drawn into the heart of a good, good Father. So right now, just right where you're at, here's a call I feel like the Lord is saying. And I want you guys to continue to play, but let's just lower the volume just a little bit. And I want you to get to a place of with the Father. And I want you to ask Him, Father, what are you saying to me right now? Through your Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? Listen to Him. How are you reconciling me, every part of my life, into you? Whoa. Now as He reveals something to you, repent. Say, Father, I repent for what I've been prioritizing over you. How I've been prioritizing other things, other idols, over the purity of your heart for me. I repent. I think differently afterwards. I see it from your perspective. And now I, as an act of my will, I run into your arms. I just see the Father Himself, just like in the story of the prodigal father, as He's running out to meet His son, he embarrassed Himself by pulling up His robes so His legs were exposed, because He wanted to run out and beat the religious crowd from telling His son who was returning home that he wasn't good enough to get back home. And I just hear right now that there's some folks in here, you've been caught up by a religious crowd that you had you repented and you knew you needed to come home. And yet you encountered a religious people who wanted to put you back into bondage to the law. And they said, you're not worthy. And it's the Father Himself who's running ahead of that group to meet you on the road right now. And He's wrapping a robe around you, and He's putting a ring on your hand, and He's saying, you are mine. Whoa. There's a spirit of salvation in the house right now. There's a spirit of reconciliation. I'm going to ask you a question. If you know Jesus Christ as Lord, your Lord and Savior, would you just say, yes, I do, and raise your hands up? Yes. Now here's one of my challenges. If you're in this place this morning, you say, I cannot raise my hands and say, yes, I know I've been born again. There is no shame in that. I want you to hear what the Father of Heaven is saying. Come home. I feel his love for you. I feel his love for you so incredibly much, and he's crying out, would you return home? Would you come home? Would you give your life to me so I can trade it in for the life of my son? No fear, no shame. But in this moment right now, if that's you, say, I need to be born again. Would you just raise your hands up? Come on, I'm not even asking people to close their eyes. I see you, brother. Come on down. Come on. Anybody else? Is there anybody else in the house? Come on. Yes, Penny, come on. Gary. Linda, will you come in? I want you to pray. Oh, Father, come on up here. We'll surround you right now as we pray. Thomas, come on up. Amy, I feel like we need to surround you with family right now, that you know you got moms and dads here who care about you. So as we pray with you, yes, brother. Is there anybody else? Is there one more? Is there anybody else? Do it. Give it out. That way somebody, it's a call, it's a cry out.
I was just telling Pastor Jay that I just feel like God keeps saying over and over again, you belong. You belong. You are an orphan no more. You belong.
Is there anybody else? So here's what the Lord is saying. He says, if you believe that my son is really who he says he is, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead for you and as you, then you are saved. That means you're born again. You're a brand new creation. That means when you die, you're going straight to heaven. But it also means that before you die, you get to live like Jesus on the earth, seeing radical transformation that everywhere you go, the story where your past, your story, now becomes his story of redemption that transforms lives. And he's going to send you into places that nobody else could have gone except for you. And he's going to open up doors that have been locked, waiting for you to come, for you to say, this is what Jesus has done in my life. And people are going to come to know him in the public arena. So right now, just as Jesus, your Lord and your Savior. Father, right now, I just pray, Lord, as their confession of faith, Lord, that they are saved. Now I pray, Holy Spirit, come and fill them, Lord, fresh, first time. Your presence that manifests itself into salvation, into healing, into deliverance. Right now, I break the chain. Whoa. I break every chain. They've been shattered and obliterated in Jesus' name. The devil has no more hold on you. Don't believe the lie that you are a sinner from this point on, but you are a saint. I just see right now that you do have the spirit of Elijah on you. I know that's your name, but you have the spirit of Elijah on you, that he's going to open up doors for you, Elijah, that you're going to walk into, and you're going to bring the fire of God into it. And it's not a fire that tears people down. It's going to be a fire that consumes the things of the enemy, and it brings a light so that those who live in darkness will run to the light. Father, just have your way in him right now. Consume all of him, Father, right now in the name of Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. As they're filled, Lord God, and they're surrounded by family right now. I mean, they're surrounded by family that says you're not alone. You're surrounded by children. You're surrounded, by moms and dads and brothers and sisters to say, we affirm you, we just receive you. Come, Holy Spirit. And we just thank you for your glory and your presence, Lord, that they're marked. They're marked in the light by you forevermore. And just declare that right now, Holy Spirit, more, more. And it's in Jesus' mighty name we declare this. Amen, 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 amen. Somebody say yes. The people of God celebrate that there's three people now. I'm going to tell you, the Lord's working on my heart, because I came from a background where it's like you kind of trained up and you do what church does. And so I've been in environments where it's like, okay, bow your head, close your eyes, everybody make sure you do that. And I think that's still, there's a time to do that because it removes distractions. But here's the thing it does. It discourages people from making a public confession that, yes, I am saved. Because it's almost like saying, well, we don't want anybody to see you raising your hand that you're lost. In fact, we want everybody to see that you're raising your hand so we can surround you like that. That when we can do that, we can celebrate a life that's lost and now a life is found. Guess what's going to happen? More salvations. People are going to want to become part of a family because they're not going to feel shame. So let's just praise. Let's just declare he is worthy of it all. Let's just do that one more time. And let's just celebrate with the heaven right now.
Before we do that, I feel like there's just a new song that the Lord was releasing over him that I feel like it's one of those, again, heaven singing, the Father singing over us and us singing it back over to him. It's a real simple chorus. Comes right along with the same progression. Oh, you are mine and I am yours forever. You are mine and I am yours forever. You are mine and I am yours forever, forevermore. Sing it one more time. Oh, you are mine, and I am yours forever. You are mine, and I am yours forever.
Declare that you deserve all the glory and all the praise. It's for you, Jesus, alone that we live and we exist and we breathe. It's for your pleasure. And I just thank you, Lord, for what you've already done this morning, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, that the family of God just grew, that the population of heaven just expanded, Lord God. And Lord, we just say, do it again, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that that would be a down payment, Lord God, on the billion soul harvest, Lord God. Lord, we know there's more that are already taking place, Lord, but there's something about three that just took place, that you're doing something specific, Lord God, as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Lord, that's going to shake the foundations of the earth. Lord, so I just pray, Lord, right now that over every heart, Lord, that you would pierce our hearts with your word. I silence any other voice right now in the authority of the name of Jesus Christ from speaking into our lives and our hearts anymore. Lord, attune our ears to hear only you in such a way, Lord, that we know, that we know, that we know that it's you, Father, who are speaking. Because we are who you say we are. And we have what you say we have. And when we have you, we've got everything. So Holy Spirit, have your way continually through this service. And it's in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Somebody give him praise in the house of God. Come on. So we're going to be doing something different this morning. We are not releasing first through fourth grade or fifth and sixth grade. You guys are going to stick in with us because I feel very strongly that the Lord wants something for you. So with that being said, once you find somebody you don't know, grab their neck, love on them in Jesus' name, and we're going to get into the message here. Anybody had a birthday in the last week or coming up? I feel like the Lord wanted to give this away as a birthday present. Wendy and Steve and Wendy Backlund. She beat you guys to the punch.
Thank you.
So it's Igniting Faith in 40 Days. It's a book of declaration. We had the blessing this last, well, gosh, it's been 2 weeks ago. Before I left on my trip, Kelly and I and Cindy and Chris were part of our regional gathering. I know Charles last week. I love Charles so much. He's such an incredible man of God and such a leader and such a father in this region. And we were at our regional gathering, and Steve and Wendy were there. And that was one of the declarations that was spoken over us as a group, is like, after today, everything changes. And I think of that song during the burn they were singing, you know, when you walk into the room. And it's like when Jesus walks into the room, everything changes. Jesus is a game changer. So what we're going to ask for today, and we're just going to go after what God has. And I'm going to do teaching as quickly as I can because I feel like this needs to be an experiential service. That's why I wanted the kids to be in with us. I want them to experience and ask for Holy Spirit to enter into the room. And when he enters into your room, your heart, your temple, everything changes in a heartbeat. And I am all about, see, part of discipleship is learning to grow and activate and steward and sustain the work of salvation in your life. Remember, Paul even tells Timothy, he says, work hard to prove yourself. And he wasn't saying work hard so you can earn it or do it out of your own effort, but you need to position yourself to sustain the work of God that's inside of you so it grows and it multiplies. And so part of that is a partnership. It's knowing what the God of the universe has for you. And so that's why the title of today's message is Be Continually Filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me hear you say, be continually filled. Oh, I love hearing those kids' voices out there. It's awesome. Be continually filled. Ephesians 5:18 says this, don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life, but instead be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me hear you say, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the word filled in the Greek, it literally is a continual filling. It's not a one-time event. Like sometimes we say the baptism of the Holy Spirit or the day of Pentecost was a singular event. Well, it was a singular event in history, but it was not meant to be a singular experience. If you've ever been baptized with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, that was awesome. But it's not meant to be that moment in time and you go, oh, you remember the good old days. Like we look back as a nostalgic event. But instead, Paul says, be continually filled. And I'm going to tell you, when I was up in VOA this last week, the Lord has ruined me in so many ways. I've been baptized with the Holy Spirit for 7 years now. I had a radical encounter with him. And in that time frame, I've had some radical, crazy encounters with the Holy Spirit, the power of God that shook me so much, the fire of God, the heat of God, the coolness. I've experienced a lot of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit where he comes. And I'm telling you, there is more. Like if you're not in a relationship with somebody that you can experience, then you might be on an online relationship with somebody who doesn't exist. You ever thought about that? The God of the universe wants to personally connect with you intimately so you can experience his goodness. Remember, it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Last time I checked, those were senses that you experienced the world around you. And in the same way, you're supposed to experience the supernatural realm, which really, in reality, is the natural realm. Did you ever think about the Holy Spirit's not super to God? It's himself. Right? He's like, yes, it's me. What is natural to God seems supernatural to us. And what he's trying to do is heaven invades earth. This reality of heaven into earth. That's why Jason, man, wherever you are, brother, when you gave your life to Christ, it was awesome because it's like it begins this point on. Like heaven is coming to earth. And now, yes, when you die one day, you're making it into heaven and it's going to be a celebration. But between now and that day, you got a lot of life to live, brother. I'm telling you, when you get into the scriptures, you'll find the story of the Galilean man. And he was, and I'm not saying that you're full of demons, but his story is that he was so demon-possessed, and he encounters the Lord Jesus, and in a moment, he's changed. And he wants to get in the boat to go with Jesus, which can we all agree that going with Jesus would be fun? I mean, that would be a good thing. And Jesus says, no. Go tell people what I've done for you. Go tell people. And he transformed 10 cities. Not one village, not one house. He transformed 10 cities. Why? What Jesus had done a continual, ongoing work. And so we must come into this place where Holy Spirit, it doesn't become the spooky thing. We got Halloween coming up, and sometimes it's like, oh my gosh, the evil stuff. Yeah, and there's evil stuff out there, but we're meant to be children of the light. The darkness doesn't freak me out. I run to the, in the last several weeks, we've had folks that have come up and in and around the church that have been carrying critters, is what we say a lot of times. They've had demons with them. And guess what? We go, yes! Because the devil's an idiot because he's bringing them to us and we get to set them free. Right? I'm sorry, parents. I realize I tell my kids not to call people an idiot, so I repent of that. But the devil's an idiot, okay? If there's any being in the universe, he's it, okay? And so it's going to come from this experience. So when I was in VOA, the Lord says, okay, yes, the Kingdom Foundation's message is good, but I want to rearrange it. I plan on speaking today about how do you hear from God. God still speaks. How do I hear his present voice? And instead he says, look, before you get into that in worship and prayer and you get into the work of the Holy Spirit and the work of ministry and all this stuff, we need to teach and get first things first. We need to have an encounter with the Holy Spirit. Because if this becomes intellectual, it becomes religious. But instead, what God's wanting to do is like, boom, I want to come and wreck your life in such a way. And I mean wreck you in a good way. Like he turns your priorities topsy-turvy upside down. And what just seemed like before you had it all figured out, and he turns it upside down because what he has for you is so much better. In Ephesians 3:20, it says he'll do infinitely more than you might ask, think, or imagine. That's what he has for you. That's what he wants for you. And so an encounter with the Holy Spirit, being continually filled with the Holy Spirit, is so important. Let me give you some scriptures. I've got a couple statements I just wrote down in my journal. Jesus made it possible for you to get into the kingdom, but the Holy Spirit makes it possible for you to live daily in the kingdom. Jesus makes it possible for you to get into the kingdom of heaven. But the Holy Spirit is the one that makes it possible for you to live powerfully from here to eternity. So if you're not walking underneath the influence of the Holy Spirit, you're trying to do it on your own, guess what? You're not going to see success. You might get to heaven, and you will, but you will not see power and influence. You'll continue to walk in darkness and influence. And so it's important for us to realize the Holy Spirit is not to be feared, but instead to be embraced. Jesus serves as a perfect example of a lifestyle submitted to the Father and the Holy Spirit. Do you realize that Jesus, everything he did on the earth, and we believe without any question that Jesus was both 100% God and 100% man. Why was he 100% man? Because only a sinless man could pay your sin and my sin. So he had to be 100% man in order for that to take place. But he did not lose his deity. He did not stop being divine while on the earth. And so you have this paradox of the divinity of God and the humanity of Jesus that's walking on the earth, the Word made flesh. And Jesus served as his example. He lived in perfect relationship with his Father. He says, I only do what I see my Father doing. I only say what I hear my Father saying. So he was fully submitted to authority in heaven, to his Father. Did Jesus have a will? Did he have his own will? Yes. He was not a mindless robot either, but he gave us as a perfect prototype, an example to follow, perfect submission to the Father in heaven. I only do and I only say what I see and hear my Father doing. But he also lived underneath the power of the Holy Spirit. Every single miracle he performed was underneath the influence of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he's to serve as the firstborn among new creation. He's to be our prototype for the way that we're supposed to live our life. He is the model for how we live our life. And so if Jesus needed to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and filled with the Holy Spirit, where does that leave us? I submit to you the reason that power has gone out of the church is we forgot this important thing. We have elevated Jesus to where he belongs. Absolutely. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. It's the gospel of the good news of reconciliation that Jesus reconciles the world to himself. But there's another part of the good news. And the other part of the good news is when you get into heaven, you receive the kingdom of God, is now you're supposed to become Christ-like. And if you could not get to heaven on your own, how could you be like Christ on the earth alone? You need the power of the Holy Spirit. And so the church has forgotten this thing, and so much it has been powerless because we've agreed with things that God never said. And so we pray, well, Lord, if it's your will that somebody gets healed, and saying, Lord, there is no sickness in heaven. It is your will. And it's up to you to make it happen. Not up to me. It's up to him to make it happen. I'm not making Jesus perform for me. What I'm doing is I'm standing in agreement with what he's already said. And I'm saying, do it again, Lord. Come and release it. And so we need to understand this. Let me give you some scripture to back this up. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. And he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. What happened with Jesus? He was full of the Holy Spirit. There we go. He's full of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. Did you hear me? Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. You need to be full of the Holy Spirit. It's an imperative. I'm not going to try to soft sell this thing or not. You need to know it's imperative. The success of your life, the success of your marriage, the success of raising these amazing children we have is dependent upon you being full of the Holy Spirit like Jesus. And if you're not, you're going to experience frustration and powerlessness. Because it's only underneath the power of the Holy Spirit that you become powerful. And in verse 14 of that same chapter, it says, then Jesus returned to Galilee filled with the Holy Spirit's power. And reports about him spread quickly through the whole region. He taught regularly in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. And when he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath, stood up and read the scriptures. And the scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him. And he unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me. The word Christ means smeared one, anointed one. When we say we worship Jesus Christ, it's saying the one who was smeared with the Holy Spirit. So if you're to be a Christian, a Christ one, a Christ follower, a little Christ, you got to be smeared and anointed with the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, what we do up here is all an act. It's not action. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he's anointed me to bring good news to the poor. You heard good news earlier, and you saw it, because the Holy Spirit was here. He is here. He sent me. He sent you to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. Let me hear you say, it has come. It's come now. It's not later. It's not to the millennium. It's now. He has come. And he's continuing to come. If it means to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit, that means that now is now. Now from a second ago is yesterday. Now, now, now. I need him moment by moment by moment. I need him. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. And you know God anointed. Let me hear you say God anointed. Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit. Come on, in power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So let me say this. When Jesus says, you will do even greater things than I've done, you cannot do that without the Holy Spirit. If you've been resistant to the Holy Spirit and you've been frustrated because you haven't seen them more, now's time to check your Holy Spirit experience. Are you being filled? Fresh? New? Because if you are, God's going to be with you. And the blind eyes will open, the deaf will hear, the dead will rise, the demons will flee. Your marriage will be made whole. Come on. Amen. You'll be a wise steward of finances. So much so that God will multiply it into your hands because he wants to fund his provision for the vision that he has for your life. But it comes us surrendering completely and fully to the God of the universe. Because when I say, fill me, and I say, but just this much. He's going, it's all or nothing, son. It's all or nothing. When we go out and we pray for people, maybe you've seen some of the Darren Wilson movies, and I've done this. In fact, I had a chance to do it on a trip. I saw somebody, encountered them, and they were lost as a goose. Long story short. And this felt like the Lord says, he needs to know that I am real. Go pray for him. So I walked up to him, and I said, I'm a Christian, and I believe that you're not. And he looked at me like this. It was kind of shocking, stuff like that. And I said, that's not offense. I'm not offended by that. But you need to know, you've been asking these questions in your heart whether God is real or not. Well, he decided to answer you through me. And it was this look like, what you talking about, Willis? You know? Like, this weird dude's walking up to me, and I wasn't Shambhala and all that stuff either, right? But very directly, I said, can I pray for you? Can I grab your hand? Because I'm going to tell you, in this moment, when I pray for you and I grab your hand, you're going to feel and know that God is real. Here's the thing about that. When you do something like that, it's either incredibly stupid or it requires faith, because now I've put God on the hook. But how many people know that God wants to answer our prayers? You can ask for anything in my name. And I grabbed his hand, and here's all I said. Holy Spirit, come. That was it. Electricity began to go up, and you could see the hairs on his arm start to stand up, and he goes, what was that? The God of the universe answering you that he's real. But here's the thing. The Holy Spirit came on him. It didn't fill him. So when it comes to Christianity, that we're following after God, it's all or nothing. We can't say, well, God, I just want a little bit of you. And he's like, okay, but all you're going to get is a little bit of victory. Just a little bit of victory. We want all of him. And we say, Lord, no conditions. A lot of times when you say, Lord, when you come, I don't want to do what that person over there does. And they go, okay. And he makes you do exactly what that person over there did. He didn't make you do it, but this thing comes on you where it's like that point of breakthrough. Like, if you're not willing to be made a fool for Christ, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. So we need to be willing to be made fools of. But there is no plan B. It's God, he shows up, or he doesn't. And it's like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the story of Daniel, the book of Daniel. And the king saying, either you bow down to my statue, or I'm going to throw you into a fire and burn you up. And they say this, no, we are not going to bow down to you, because our God will save us. And even if he doesn't, we will still not bow down to you. Because plan A is still to do what he says. And either we're going to be here on earth and you're going to be amazed, or we're going to be in heaven and we'll have greater authority than you realize. And the Lord's plan was like, boom, here they are, and another man appears. I think that was the pre-incarnate Jesus with them in the pit going, well done, boys. Well done. You're not even smell like smoke when you get out of here. Here's what I want you to say. I want you to be on fire for me. When Moses sees the burning bush, it was a fire that burned, but it did not consume. It was still there. The Lord wants to set you on fire in such a way that it does not burn you up, but it burns you up. Amen. Do you understand that? Yes. There's going to be a longer teaching down the road, but I feel like the Lord says it. There's a difference between being a thermometer and a thermostat. A thermometer takes the temperature of the room, but has no authority and no power to influence what's happening. I think sometimes we're powerless because we're acting like thermometers and we're going, yeah, there's evil in the world. It's getting darker. Our politics are all messed up. Oh my gosh, it's Halloween and there's darkness and I feel it. Stop being a thermometer. Be a thermostat. Because what does a thermostat do? A thermostat changes it to a pre-set condition. It changes the atmosphere. So instead of being afraid, on Thursday it was, they had around the plaza, downtown had all the businesses that they had Halloween candy and all that stuff like that. And yes, I dressed my kids up because one wanted to be a Ninja Turtle and the other one was Rey from Star Wars. She looked good too. It was awesome. Like, she's walking down the street and people going, hey, Rey! It was awesome. If you haven't seen Star Wars, whatever. But the point is this, and I told my kids, we're on a mission. It's not to get candy. It's to change the atmosphere. And my kids understand that. They go, all right, Daddy, let's go. And we walked up to this one place, and there was this house, and they had three ladies that dressed like witches that looked like from Wizard of Oz green. And right away, I looked at Macy, and she goes, I'm feeling something. I go, yeah, but what are we going to do about it? She goes, we're going to change it. Right? So we just blessed them. We walked up to them and says, the Lord blesses you. And I know in my spirit I felt like this, right? But we just said, the Lord blesses you. Change the atmosphere of our city. You are made to be a thermostat. And here's the thing. When you use your thermometer to be able to take the temperature of darkness and you begin to partner with darkness, what do you do with it? You release darkness. You release fear. You release shame. You release guilt. Why is religion so dangerous? Because it's a stinking thermometer that takes the temperature of people's sins and then holds it against them and then releases this atmosphere of shame and guilt, and it reproduces what it's taken the temperature of. Oh, that's a good word. You might want to write that down. And instead of being a thermostat that says, I take the temperature, and yeah, you got some stuff in your life, but my God is good, and he's amazing, and the grace of God is sufficient, the goodness of God leads people to repentance, right now in the name of Jesus, I transform you. Come on, you got the power and the ability before you. But what it's going to come down to is, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Everything I said is only possible if you're being continually filled with the Holy Spirit. And let's just say this. Don't worry about what people do around you. I'm going to say this. I'm going to step on some toes, and I know I'm going to step on some toes, but I'm going to graciously do it. If you're worried about what people were doing around you, and that's keeping you from connecting with the God of the universe that says more about what you're allowing to influence in you than the people around you. That means attune your heart into heaven. And here's my biblical example. Stephen, one of the original deacons of the church, he's a Greek believer. He was full of the Holy Spirit. I got more scriptures. I'm not going to get to them because we're supposed to get in and lay hands. But he was full of the Holy Spirit. He's working the food line, and he's moving in the power of the Holy Spirit. Signs, miracles, and wonders are taking place. And the Pharisees, the religious crowd, stone him to death. And as he's being stoned to death, I mean, literally, think about it. He's going, boom, boom, boom. He's getting hit, and he's saying, but geez, I see heaven split open, and I see Jesus, my Savior, standing at the right hand of the Father. Oh, Lord Jesus, and they stoned him more. He was less concerned about the world around him than he was about having his eyes onto who Jesus is. And it's the Spirit of Christ that wants to be breathed onto you. So that when people are tossing stones your way or they're doing something weird, you go, Jesus, what are you saying? And we press in to that. And here's why I know this is true. I stayed away from some of the Holy Spirit stuff because you guys freaked me out. I'm serious. I'm like, Lord, I walked in the first time I had this crazy baptism of the Holy Spirit. I just felt heat down my neck. And I said, okay, God, I can handle this. But that person over there is doing this. I'm just not sure I want to do that. Now my prayer is this. I'm a coin in your pocket, Father. Spin me as you wish. If that means I have to shake, rattle, and roll, I want more of you. So for you that are excited now about that, let me step on your toes. If you shake around on a roll, but you don't get off the floor and start walking straight with the Holy Spirit and righteousness, then you did not have a real experience. You touched the fire, but you didn't let it get on the inside. The Holy Spirit wants to get in you so he can transform you from the inside out. But then he wants to get on you so you can go in the world and radically change the world. I'm no longer going to live in fear of man. I lived with it for too long, and I worried about what people would think. All I care about is what my Father thinks, and here's what my Father thinks. There are 5 billion people on the planet who are dead, and they're going to go to hell if somebody doesn't touch them. Amen. Let it be me, Lord. Let it be me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, because I want it to go and touch every person. You need to know this. Children, if you're sitting here right now, you need to know that you are powerful. There's no little Holy Spirit. There is Holy Spirit. You're in this room now because we wanted you to know that you're equally powerful as the Apostle Paul. You're equally powerful as the prophet Elijah who called fire down from heaven. You're equally powerful. This is a moment in your life that as you get touched, it will forever transform you. Don't be afraid of it. Amen. Let me give you some scriptures. I'm going to go through it rapid fire, so don't try to flip in your Bibles. And I'm not even going to give you the scripture reference. I'm just going to read them, okay? Because it will take too long. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of our people, Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. After this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they preached the word of God with boldness. Boldness cannot come without the filling of the Holy Spirit. Brothers, select 7 men who are well-respected and are full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, and we will give them this responsibility. If you're looking for a political position because you're well respected, but you're not full of the Holy Spirit, get filled with the Holy Spirit. The Lord will promote you quicker than you can realize. Everyone liked this idea. They chose the following: Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed steadily into heaven and saw the glory of God, and he saw Jesus standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. Barnabas was a good man, but he was full of the Holy Spirit and strong in faith, and many people were brought to the Lord. Saul, also known as Paul, was filled with the Holy Spirit when he looked at the sorcerer in the eye, and then there's transformation, deliverance, but he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then Acts chapter 13, verse 52, and the believers were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 says this: so let's stop going over and over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. And let me say this before I read the rest of this. This is not saying we don't need discipleship. I preached weeks ago about the fundamentals. We need to know the fundamentals. But if you're not acting on the fundamentals, something's going on. It says, let us go on instead, though, and become mature. Let me hear you say, become mature. That means you can know Holy Spirit, you can know Jesus, but you can maintain a level of immaturity that will keep you at the place that you're at. And God wants to say, there's more. I want to promote you. Maturity doesn't come how much you know up here. It knows how much do you know Him, and you're willing to be used by Him. That's where maturity comes from. That's why these children can do mighty and powerful miracles, because as they surrender, it's a childlike faith. There's maturity that comes by going, God, have your way. It says, surely we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds and placing our faith in God. You don't need further instruction about baptisms. It's plural. Baptisms is plural. The laying of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. So God willing, we will move forward to further understanding. There's this idea about baptisms. Somebody asked me, well, what do you believe about the baptism of the Holy Spirit? I said, I believe there's an initial baptism of the Holy Spirit, but I'm baptized daily in Him. I'm filled daily. I'm smeared daily. I'm immersed in Him daily. Why? Because I need Him. Amen. And so if you're water baptized, you're talking about, it's a prophetic act of saying, I'm being buried with Jesus on the cross, but I'm raising again with Jesus from the dead. There's a prophetic act in that baptism. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not a prophetic act. It's an active engagement with the God of the universe who wants to do something now. So, baptisms. Let me say baptisms. And I'm not going to get into denominational backgrounds, but we need to focus on baptisms and the laying of hands. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11 says, I baptize with water those who repent of their sins, turn to God. But someone is coming who is greater than I am, so much greater that I'm not worthy to even be his slave and carry his sandals. He will baptize you with Holy Spirit and with fire. Let me make a disclaimer. I get that many strange things have been done in the name of Jesus. And I'll name a name. John MacArthur wrote a book called Strange Fire, and he missed the boat completely. He missed the boat completely. But there are people who operate underneath false fire, right? You go in Hinduism and things like that, they have experiences underneath the influence of a spirit, but not the Holy Spirit. Whenever the Holy Spirit, the chief spirit, the God of the universe comes in, all those suckers got to bow. So we have to have this encounter with Holy Spirit. He'll baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire. I've got other scriptures, but I feel like we've gone way past time, and we need to lay hands on. So here's what happened on the day of Pentecost. You get Peter, who's radically baptized with the Holy Spirit. 120 other people are radically touched by the Holy Spirit. Weird things happen. So much so they said, are these guys drunk? And Peter goes, they're not drunk as you suppose. You know what they were supposing? Is that at 9 a.m. in the morning was the time that the drink offering was made in the temple. And they're accusing him of going, you must have snuck in, got the drink offering and drunk it, and that's why you're drunk. And he's going, we're not drunk as you suppose. Do you notice that he didn't say, no, we're not drunk? He says, we're not drunk as you think. We're under the influence of the Holy Spirit. How do you know? Because when I come under the influence of a spirit, the way I think, The way I feel, the way I live, the way I act is totally transformed because it's underneath the influence of that. And I don't care if that's a religious spirit, a spirit of fear, or the Holy Spirit, you're going to be influenced by what fills you. So it's so important for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So here's what we're going to do. Put your Bibles aside. And stand up with me. Gary, will we have, or Ryan, can you go let the toddlers and nursery know that we're in pre-K? We're going to take a few more minutes. Okay, cool. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. We're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I didn't get to it, but there's plenty of scriptures that talk about impartation, the laying of hands. But here's the other thing, too. You read through scripture, the moment we put God into a box, he defies the box. And so there's moments where they're preaching to a group of Gentiles, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit falls. They haven't got into, well, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, part of the message, Holy Spirit falls, and they begin to speak in tongues. They are touched. And then Peter looks at the guys and goes, well, let's go ahead and baptize them in water now because they got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, right? And so it doesn't require the laying of hands, but there's something personal that happens when the laying of hands takes place. There's an impartation. And here's what I'm going to ask for. During this service, and listen to me real quick. I need you to hear the instruction. Not because you're excited and you want to be touched first, but legitimately during the service from the beginning of worship to now, you can feel his presence on you. And here's some of the typical stuff that will happen. There'll be electricity feeling. There'll be heat. A lot of times there's coolness. You'll feel a pressure. Sometimes people weep. Sometimes people laugh uncontrollably. But you've been feeling and sensing that God is here. And I'm going to go ahead and ask the Longs and the Caves, once y'all get in, come forward, and Chris and Cindy as well. And I'm going to come down in a second. But those are the people I want to pray for first. If you've been sensing, we're going to partner with what God is doing. And then we're going to say those that, who are hungry, come forward and be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And we've got some kids too. If you're a kiddo that Mr. Gary said to help out with, I don't know if Mr. Gary, yeah, well, he did what I asked him to do. Yeah, go on up here. Well, come on. You need to know this is not because I carry a title on a platform that this happens. You need to know what it takes is a child faith. So they're going to partner. So what I'm going to do is, once you guys go stand with an adult, go find an adult. We got some over here, Elijah. Why don't you go down there with Mr. K, Ms. K. Go down there, Annabelle. All right, stay right there. Mr. Gary, I'm going to come down center here. So let's just pray right now. Holy Spirit, we just say, come and have your way. That you begin to breathe, just like you did in the upper room. Just receive the Holy Spirit. As you begin to feel the Holy Spirit touching, why don't you just go ahead and come forward. Don't wait. Just come forward. Ushers, catchers, why don't you go ahead and come up and be ready. I know you guys are feeling it. Don't be afraid. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit.